Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the PM team, Pony and Muller, presented by Chafin Luhana Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. We're coming to you from Primanti's in Mount Lebanon, right across from the Galleria. We're here for the next 2 hours, so stop by and say hello. On the hotline right now is Radio.com Sports MLB Insider John Heyman. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. John has the ALCS on his mind, I bet, but they're rained out, so a reprieve there, a little bit of time for us to get into the manager search here with the Pirates, which has been pretty quiet, John. On our front, some names have been put out there. I know you floated a few out there, too, from what you've heard. Can you tell us, as of right now, who do you think is the favorite to be the Pirates' next manager?
Well, I couldn't tell you who's the favorite for sure. I have five names. I believe that one, two, three, four, six names that I know there's interest. I'm not sure all of them are interviewing. You tell me, have any of these not coming out yet? I don't know. Ryan Christensen from the A's. We have Mike Bell. Derek Shelton, the Twins, Bannister, obviously been there. You guys are familiar with him. Sam Fuld and Mark Kotze. So I think that's six guys, I believe, that I've heard connected to the Pirates' job. I couldn't tell you what order they're running in right now. We may be early in the search. There may be more names coming out, but those are the six that I've heard so far. Are any of them new, by the way? I'm not sure.
No. No, we've heard those names, too. We haven't heard, other than Shelton, one who is maybe a step ahead of the others. What is an obvious question off of that list, John, is the omission or the absence of really any big names. There's no Joe Girardi. There obviously now is no Joe Maddon because he's in L.A. What's your take on why big-name managers have not been linked to this job?
Well, I think Joe Maddon was going to have a pick of a few places, and he'd been in Anaheim or Los Angeles, whatever you want to call it, for three decades before he made his name as the Rays manager, then the Cubs manager, and he was going to have his choice, and he wanted to go to the Angels, so there wasn't going to be an opportunity there. Girardi looks like he's going to get a job. I mean, he's got three major markets looking at him, the Phillies, the Cubs, and the Mets. You know, the Mets are seem like they're debating whether to take the plunge and spend the money and have someone who's got a big name there. They're not sure right now whether they're going to do it, but I wouldn't bet against it. And Girardi's involved with the Phillies. So, you know, guys who've had many years of experience, they sometimes can have their choice. I think Girardi, if he doesn't have his choice, he's going to be able to have the opportunity likely in one of the big places, big markets, teams. And, you know, he was with the Yankees for 10 years. So, you know, I'm not sure that he would do the Pirates. I don't know. He hasn't confided in me. But my feeling is he'd probably prefer the Mets over any of the jobs. That'd be just my educated guess there. You know, Buck Showalter might have some other opportunities as well. But, you know, obviously Pittsburgh did not have a good year last year. They look like they're still building or if not rebuilding. And, you know, if a guy's managed for 20 years, like Showalter or Dusty Baker in his case, you know, I don't know what the appetite is to go into a rebuilding situation. Maybe they're willing, and maybe the Pirates just don't want to go that route. And, you know, maybe they feel like a younger guy after having Clint Hurdle might be the route to go as well. So it could be several factors there. But I do think that with eight openings, there are some of these guys who have quite a resume who probably have their choice, and Pittsburgh probably is not number one on their list.
John, when Clint Hurdle took over for John Russell, who had been let go starting with that 2011 season, this was a franchise that needed a personality in the role of manager. They needed a face of the franchise. They had some young players that people here are excited about, but they needed somebody that was going to galvanize the fan base. And to a degree, I think Clint Hurdle did that, especially early on. You just outlined what the Pirates are right now, which is a 69-win team last year that's either rebuilding or trying to retool What do you think characteristic-wise, traits, what do you think are important traits in whoever they get as a manager? What kind of guy do you think fits best for this job from that kind of bird's-eye view perspective?
Yeah, I mean, the trend is generally, and I know that a lot of the older managers are getting looks from the bigger market, generally bigger markets now, but the trend generally has been the younger guy who's affable, in many cases had a decent or very good major league career, somebody can get along with, somebody who will listen, maybe not just take the orders, but be collaborative and be willing to work with the front office. So, I think they have a good list. These guys all have good reputations, and they all seem logical for the Pirates. I don't know if they're looking for personality. You know, I don't intimately know a lot of these guys. Derek Shelton, the Twins hitting coach, is a bit of a personality, so they could go in that direction. Sam Fuld, a Stanford guy, he's kind of an intellectual. The other guys I do not know as well, but Kotze, Christensen, Bell all have good reputations. Bannister, as we know, managed with Texas, was real good the first 2 years, then kind of faded after that. Maybe it was a good learning experience, and be in that kind of Matheny category where he's going to get a second chance. I wouldn't say this. I would think that there's a possibility of that as well, because I do know they like him in Pittsburgh.
Speaking of reputations, John, it's been impossible to go about 5 minutes in these playoffs without watching a former Pirates pitcher dominating the opposition. In one case, obviously, two former Pirates pitchers playing in a do-or-die Game 5. What's the reputation of Neil Huntington around baseball right now in baseball circles and in the drafting and development, the scouting and farm staff that he has assembled?
Yeah, I think the drafting and developing is fine. It seems like some of these guys have hit something of a wall when they got to the major league level. I don't know whether it was putting some constraints on Cole or what, but in Houston, you know, everybody's getting credit for being geniuses and getting the best out of Verlander and all the others. And, you know, maybe there's something to it, but I think they just kind of let him be and said, go ahead, do your thing and do what you do best. And the guy throws 100, and he's pitching up in the zone now, and that seems to be working for him. He's not a cookie-cutter pitcher. He's a very special pitcher, and it seems like whatever they're telling him at the major league level is working out better for Cole than it did in Pittsburgh. With Glasnow and Meadows, not a pitcher, obviously, but they were drafted and developed by Pittsburgh. Very good drafts. They developed them, but they didn't perform when they got to the major league level. That trade was obviously ill-advised. That was not a good trade. You know, I think they probably should have given Meadows a little more opportunity, certainly at least him, to show what he had before they traded him for Chris Archer in that package deal, and they gave up a third prospect as well. So that wasn't a good trade, but I think the issue is mostly is when they get to the major league level that they perform to their ability. And that's been a problem in Pittsburgh more than I think that they're drafting and developing.
John Heyman, Radio.com, MLB Insider here on 93.7 The Fan. John, I'm going to ask you a couple specific questions about those six candidates for the Pirates manager job that you threw out there. As far as Derek Shelton goes from Minnesota, is he a real candidate in New York too? Do you think he's leaning one way or the other? If the Pirates and Mets both want Shelton as manager, which job do you think he takes and why?
Well, you know, I think most guys are in it to win. So the Mets give you a real good opportunity to win with that rotation. Their team isn't that different from the Nationals. They have that same kind of great rotation and two or three relievers they can count on. And a solid lineup. Now, the Nats have bigger stars in the middle of that lineup with Rendon and Soto, so the Nats are a better team than the Mets. But, you know, I think with most guys, if you have a choice between a team that's going to win and a team that may take a few years to win, you would take the team that's going to win. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Derek Shelton. I don't know. Maybe it's a particular reason to prefer the Pittsburgh job. He certainly has a link to Neil Huntington. That could be a big plus. I also think the Mets job is probably a long shot for him, even though, you know, we've only heard six or seven names with the Mets job. I think, you know, Girardi is a pretty solid favorite there to get that job. He certainly has the experience in New York, and the fans are clamoring for it. I think that if it's not Girardi, Beltran, who had a big reputation and was a great player with the Mets, and has links to Allard Baird and Omar Minaya from the Mets front office, I think he might get it. And Eduardo Perez, a bigger name via TV also maybe has a greater chance. So I don't think Shelton has a great chance in the Mets job. The fact that he's on their list, it speaks well of him. He's got a great reputation around the game, but he's unproven as a major league manager, obviously. But you know, I'm not surprised that he's got multiple interview opportunities. People like him very much. And obviously the Twins performed superbly this year other than in the playoffs.
John, as far as Mike Bell goes, we know the lineage with his family. They're all baseball lifers. But what would be so, like, awkward if the Pirates were to hire him is the whole saga this team went through last year with the Reds, where David Bell went after Clint Hurdle and repeatedly ripped the Pirates organization. And then you're telling me there's a chance they might turn around and hire his brother to be the manager? That would be unbelievably awkward, would it not?
It would be a bit odd, yeah, to face it 19 times. Well, hopefully David Bell won't run out from the dugout after he's been kicked out to take a swipe at his brother. Let's hope for that, because that's more important than baseball. You know, the Pirates have to hire whoever they think is best. They can't worry about the rivalry or the distaste for the Reds. Who knows how long David Bell's going to last. He did not have a great year his first year in Cincinnati. I think he get kicked out of 8 or 9 games. You know, I mean, that's the determining factor, but he seems a little unhinged to me. Mike Bell, I've heard, has a very good reputation. He's done a very good job with the D-backs, drafting, developing, and all that in the development category. And, you know, he's got an opportunity with the Mets, also probably a long shot with the Mets too. But the fact that he's in there with the Mets gives you an idea of his reputation as well.
John, I ask this because it seems like power is an expensive commodity, power hitting in Major League Baseball. And when the Pirates were good, it was more of a defense and shifting-oriented sport, the teams on the cutting edge at least. How juiced is the ball this year in Major League Baseball, and do you expect it to change for the 2020 season?
Well, it feels like it's changed in the postseason, but MLB will tell you that it's the same batch of balls. That the difference is it's a little cooler, the pitchers are a little bit better, and they'd point to the long home runs that we have seen. Springer hit a particularly long one, but Judge and Altuve have hit pretty long ones, and Reddick has hit a nice one too. So I don't know exactly. They'll claim it's the same ball. They're going to take a close look at it. You know, it certainly was flying this year. I mean, certainly a part of that is the analytics and the extra emphasis now on launch angle and power. That's a part of it, but the question is it all of it? You know, the pitchers felt that the ball felt different, and they would know. So I don't know that baseball gave an order. I doubt they did. It's possible that whoever's making the balls just made them slightly different, because you are correct. The ball was flying, particularly in the regular season.
John, give us a ballpark number on what kind of money Gerrit Cole can expect this offseason.
A lot of money. I think I estimated it. Let's see, $35 million a year times, if he got 7 years times 35, that would be 245. I think that's at this point pretty conservative. He's going to break a record for the pitchers. We've seen guys get 200 plus. Bryce got 217. Scherzer got 210. Kershaw, not a free agent. I believe he was 215. I think Cole's timing is really good, and he'll probably get 245. That'd be my goal. And, oh, yes, Granke got 206.5. So it's been done by at least a quartet of pitchers. He's going to be a record. My guess at this moment would be 245.
Well, that'll cheer up our fans and listeners. John, thanks so much. We appreciate it, brother.
All right. Good talking to you guys.
Yep, John Heyman, Radio.com Sports MLB Insider. Brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. You can go to his podcast, Big Time Baseball, for more insights from John Heyman.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.